Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship at Woodlawn United Church. I know we are far and few between today, and that's totally fine, considering all that's going on. But we have several announcements to make, but we wanted to make sure that you know you are welcome here. Kathy will go first.
Good morning, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm Kathy Dean, co-chair of council. And this past Friday, we sent out an email to everybody, basically bringing you up to speed on sort of what Woodlawn is doing in the given the global pandemic of COVID-19. For those of you who don't have email, we do have a handout. And if you did not receive one when you came in, the ushers have them. And please take them for yourself, for anybody else that you feel from the congregation that would benefit from this, and read through it. A lot has changed in the last 7 days. And Philip returned from out of the country on Tuesday and has decided to self-isolate. And so self-isolation for 2 weeks, and hopefully on Tuesday, March 24th, barring nothing happening, he should be back with us. But Philip will be available by phone call, by email, and please do not hesitate to call or to email him, and he will be available to the congregation and to the other staff as much as possible. Just to be aware that, like I say, a lot of things have changed in the last 7 days, and a lot of things could change in the next 7 days. Council meets on Wednesday night. You can be sure this will be a major priority to discuss sort of the go forward, and we just hope and pray that you will feel comforted to know that the staff will be here to help you with any fear and anxiety that you might be feeling at this time.
You have to look at the screen.
Oh. Anyway, we will not be having fellowship today. We have decided against that, and Mary Lynn and Shannon will fill you in on a few other things that we've sort of decided against at this point. But in any case, I will be around after the service. Should you have any questions or concerns that you'd like to raise for the up-and-coming meeting on Wednesday evening. And in the meantime, look after yourselves, stay safe, and use best practices.
Any other announcements before Shannon? Okay.
Good morning. My name is Jim Farmer. I'm the director of Polyphony. Polyphony was to have a concert on March 28th. Unfortunately, that is being postponed. I hate the word canceled. So we're going to postpone it until the fall. So no concert March 28th.
Good morning. We did have a chowder here on Friday, and the attendance really was quite good. We do have some chowder left over, so instead of a drive-through, we're going to do a walk-through. We're going to be set up by the elevator. We already have them bagged, so you just give us your money, take your bag, maybe a piece of pie, and there's lunch or supper. Thank you. So that's upstairs here by the elevator.
Peter Woods and I spoke last night on the phone, and we think we will definitely delay the celebration for April 4th. Things could certainly change for the worst or change for the better, but for now we're going to postpone that as well for April 4th, the celebration for paying off the mortgage. Thanks.
Okay. All right, if there's no one else, I guess the most important one at this point is, and I have to read it because it's so long, to follow best practices in this time of uncertainty due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and as a cautionary and temporary measure, we are initiating a hard and fast no-touch rule. So no hugging, no elbow tapping, no handshaking. We are a loving and welcoming community of faith, and we have only your best interest at heart. So we ask you to please abide by these rules. Also, if you must cough or sneeze, please do so into a tissue, totally covering your mouth. Or if you don't have one handy, try to do it into your elbow, especially if you have long sleeves on. But put your lips right up to your elbow so your mouth is totally covered.
Everybody will have lipstick stains on their arms.
That's true, but better that than spreading something if you happen to have something. Hand washing, of course, is recommended, and we've put up signs in all the areas to help you do that to the best of your ability. But there is hand sanitizer, I believe, out in the front entryway if you need to put that on. Also, for the next little while, at least, there will be no coffee time. I think Kathy just said that after worship. Therefore, there is no fill in the blanks. That's also postponed until further notice. And we thank you so much for your patience and consideration.
So now some good news. We will still open our doors on at least Mondays at noon from 12 to 1, as we've been doing through Lent. And somebody will be here so that you can come in for a personal time of prayer.
And I want you to know that we have spent an abundance of hours thinking of ways that we can continue to be and support each other within this community. And so there are lots of different possibilities. It might come to the point where we're not allowed to gather for worship here as a big group, but maybe we could have more times for prayer. There's different things that can be done. But there's two things that you need to do if you can. One is make sure your email address is on our congregational email list. So I'm going through that. If you happen to have not gotten the letter that went out this week, but you have an email address, see me and I will write it down because we can't share the pencil. So I will write down your email address. If you are on Facebook, please like the Woodlawn United Church Facebook page. It's very easy to do. There's a little thumbs up, says like. If you like it, then anything that comes on you will be able to see it. And that's a really great way that we might be able to have some community chats or some ways to connect with people. And so today, Philip is preaching. He's not here. So he's going to be preaching through Facebook Live on the screen. It will be live. He won't be able to see you. I don't know how well he'll do, to be honest. Don't tell him I said that. It took me about 3 hours to get him to find where the button was that said live. But anyway, Mary Kate's up there taking care of things. That's great. So there's different ways that we're going to be able to still continue to gather and even have conversations. And, you know, when Kathy said, don't be scared to reach out to Philip, like he's going to be bored to tears. So please reach out to him. So there's no coffee house that will be happening until the fall. TGIT is questionable at this point. This Thursday is supposed to be Larsh is coming here to do a talk. And a lot of the folks who live in Larsh are particularly vulnerable physically. And so I don't know for 100% sure it's going to be canceled, but I'm assuming it will be. So again, check Facebook. Check your email to get these messages. And one thing I want to say is that for those people who were able to go out and to stockpile some extra food or toilet paper for whatever reason, I thought about leaving like a roll of toilet paper for anybody who came to see my house because my house is on the market, you know, and that might be an incentive. Anyway. There are those among us, though, who are vulnerable and who have not been able to do that. And so we're looking at creating perhaps a phone tree, particularly for those folks who don't have email. And so we'd have somebody who would call and check in on them, see how they're doing, do they have anything they need. So there's lots of things that will be going on. So just to let you know that we're doing our best. I didn't mean to talk that long. It's like a sermon.
Great job.
No. Thank you.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. All right, just a couple of little things. They're important, but we had to sort of get that out of the way first.
Right.
Christian condolences to Joan and Bert Dickey on the death of their daughter, Luann Short. And Christian condolences to the family and friends of the late Carlton Tate, who passed away on March 1st. Now, I don't have any others. Any other? Okay. So let's do birthdays and celebrations then.
Oh.
Oh.
The memorial for Bert and Joan's daughter is supposed to be this afternoon.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there is a memorial service for Luann Short at Atlantic this afternoon, but I believe Philip is only going to be there for 5 or 10 minutes to do a very short thing at the beginning, and then he's leaving.
It's still
as
happening.
As far as it, the last I heard from Philip, yes, it was still happening. I think it's 2, but I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, you better check the obituary to be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I should have said is that we will not have ministers at the back doors as people go out, just because, you know, the lineup sort of gets congested and stuff, so we just won't be back there to say hello or goodbye or thanks for coming or anything like that, but do know that we appreciate you being here, and who knows, we may have worship next week, we may not, so keep tuned.
And send us an email.
Yeah.
Yeah, our Facebook page. We also will not be passing the offering plate because what happens is one person touches it, then another person touches it, and it goes down. But they are located up front, and there's one in each of the 3 entrances in the back. We'll still be saying the words. Marilyn will still be...
Yeah. I'll still do the invite to the offering, and I will still say a prayer, but we will not have the music in between.
Okay. And so you don't need to get up at that point, just on your way out,
if
please
you feel so
still
inclined.
Give.
Yeah. Okay. And okay, now birthdays and
oh, no, I have one more announcement I forgot. I have it right here.
Okay.
So you'll notice an announcement in the bulletin about the Benevolent Fund. In the 10.5 years that I've been here, we've never had no money in the Benevolent Fund. And so this is a fund that is given to by through donations specifically for this fund. And I know over time there's been some groups that have put some money in it. So when people call here and they have trouble with rent or food or phones or any of those things, it's a way that we've been able to reach out in the community and help people. We've turned away a lot of people. It's a horrible feeling. And so I think that things are only going to actually get worse for those people who are really living on the margins, for those of us who are living on the margins. And so if anybody is able to contribute to that fund, it would be a great way that we would still be able to reach out. I got a phone call this week from a woman just in tears that she had 15 days to get out of her apartment. And she only owed money for that 1 month's rent. You know, like it's situations like that when you're in the middle of a pandemic, where do you go, right? And so I think that if ever, being able to help some of the people who are the most in need is even more important. So it's written in the bulletin. There's a little write-up. You can read it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries. Anyone? Yes.
Katie.
Yay.
So Katie submitted her application for her Master's of Divinity to the Atlantic School of Theology this week.
You'll love it. Any birthdays, anniversaries?
Well, I sold my house. And I bought a house. And we got a puppy.
3 in a row. Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, if that's all, we will sing.
Congratulations to you, to Jesus be true. May God's riches bless you.
As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. Come, let us gather at Jacob's well.
We come thirsty, seeking the living water of Christ.
Come, let us break down the walls of convention and join with everyone.
We seek the inclusion of the kingdom of God.
Come, let us worship and praise the one creator of us all. And our opening hymn is More Voices 144, Like a Healing Stream, the words on the screen. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." As a symbol of Christ's loving presence among us, we light the Christ candle. Let us just take a moment for sacred silence. Loving God, we give thanks for the light of life, Christ's Holy Spirit, that is living water. May it continually flow in and around us, nurturing our souls, hearts, and minds to be open to the light of your truth today and always. Amen. And as we sing Christ Be Our Light, I invite any of the young people up to the front for story time with Shannon.
Isaac and Macy. Well, good morning. You know, we're living in a time right now unlike any time that any of us have lived in. And it can be a little bit scary. And this morning when I came in, I saw a friend of mine who I know is a little bit sad right now. And do you know what I wanted to do? What do you sometimes do when you see someone who's sad? Give him a hug. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give him a hug and say, I'm so sorry that you're having a hard time right now. But that is not the best idea right now, is it? Because we have to be really careful about spreading around germs. We can't let it be something that takes over our lives, right? We still have to find new ways of being able to do the things that we love and new ways to be able to spread God's love in the world. So I invited two friends who are going to help me today. This is Mary Kate. Can everybody say hi, Mary Kate?
Hi, Mary Kate.
None of you get to see her because she's always up there in the booth, but I got her to come down. And this is Beckett.
Hi, Beckett.
And so Beckett and Mary Kate use a type of language that many of us don't know, but we're going to learn a little bit about it today.
Is it sign language?
It is sign language. Do you know, what do you know in sign language?
I know hope.
Nice. Do you know anything else? That's great. Because, you know, sometimes being able to communicate in a way that feels really meaningful can take the place of something else that feels really meaningful. So we're not going to be shaking each other's hands and we're not going to be hugging each other, but I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we knew a different way to be able to have a really meaningful action? And so often we pass the peace of Christ. And sometimes we just use that as a way to greet each other. But it actually is a really important thing. And I think right now, passing peace is so important. Right? Because over and over and over, Jesus and God, the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. Right? And so what we want to be able to do is pass peace from one person to another. And it's not just like, hey, peace. You know? It's deeper. You have to think about what does it mean, passing peace from one person to another. So if you're fighting with someone, and you're really mad at them, do you think that you can pass peace? No, not really, right? Because you're kind of passing anger. I don't know if any of you have ever been told by your parents to apologize to someone, like a sibling. And this is the way it goes in my house. Tell your sister you're sorry. Sorry. That doesn't count, right? That's not the same thing as really feeling it, that you're sorry. And that's what you have to do when you pass peace. You have to feel like, I really want to care for this person. I love this person. I want to have a good relationship with this person. So we're going to learn, because the signs are so beautiful. Okay? So, peace. Okay, so you guys stand up so everybody out here can see. All right? So, again, you kind of squish up your baby bumblebee. Anybody who remembers that song? It's not the best analogy, but that's what I thought of, you know?
It's not very peaceful.
It's not very peaceful,
but yeah, okay.
Oh, I love that. I don't know if you heard that. Here, let me put you on the speaker.
You're taking the peace, and you're giving it out to other people.
So what I want to do is let's take a minute, and let's do that with some folks around us. Because it doesn't mean we have to touch, but the symbolism is really important, right? Okay, so let's do that.
Let's all stand up and do it.
So let's say a prayer, and then we're going to go out to the song. Well, actually, I don't think you're going out yet, are you? So, any children?
Now?
Okay. And the children, you're welcome to go, the child is welcome to go downstairs with Katie and Julia, and you guys will have an awesome time down there. So, we're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to actually sing the song, Peace Be With You, which is so perfect. So... Let's say a prayer. Dear God, you tell us, do not be afraid.
Help us pass your peace
in this time
of anxiety.
Amen.
Have our prayer confession, which will be spoken together in unison. So let us pray together. God of truth, we confess that we enjoy our privileges while denying they exist. We confess our hard-heartedness and self-justifications in the face of need. Create a new heart within, in that we may truly follow Christ in boundless love. Amen. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God has compassion for our fears and our failures. God stays with us on our Lenten journey. We are a forgiven people. Thanks be to God.
So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. That is, what you have is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am here, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with the woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have no food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more than comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and you will see fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap for that for which you do not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
So, good morning. I'm assuming that in the announcement time you understood why I'm not there with you today. I'm feeling a little bit like the Wizard of Oz and wanting to tell Dodie to go follow the yellow brick road. But anyway, I'm a bit nervous. This is my first time doing this, so I'm hoping I'm not going to go too fast or too slow. But here goes. So you've just had the story read to you from John chapter 4 about the Samaritan woman at the well who meets Jesus. The story is about a well, it's about water, it's about thirsting. So the question I want to begin with today is, what are you thirsting for this morning? What are you thirsting for? Is it coffee? Well, I'm sorry, coffee time has been canceled today. How about the coronavirus to go away? I'm not sure that's going to happen too quickly either. Well, how about getting a handle on your fear and anxiety and your stress? Well, your faith may have something to help you out a bit there. The Bible seems to assume that we can make some choices on how we deal with our fear and anxiety, at least based on the number of times Jesus uses the phrase, "Be not afraid, fear not, don't be anxious," and so on. So there are some things that we can do there with our faith. But what really are you searching for? And how thirsty are you? In the lectionary reading from the book of Exodus today, the one that we didn't read today, the people were literally thirsting for water in the wilderness after they escaped from Jesus. They were complaining to Moses and to God, "You know, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die. We haven't got any food, we haven't got any water." And they were so thirsty, they were willing to go back to Egypt and give up their freedom to get some water. Now that's thirsty. In the Beatitudes, Jesus speaks of thirst more metaphorically. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness. They shall be filled." That was part of the good news he was bringing, and that may be a clue to the living water that he's talking about in this story of the Samaritan woman at the well. So let's look at how Jesus might have quenched her thirst. But before we do that, though, let me give you a bit of background of the historical and social context of the Gospel of John, where this story is found. Firstly, the Gospel of John was written between 90 and 100 AD, 60 to 70 years after the crucifixion, and 20 to 30 years after the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, this is relevant information for that part of this reading where the Samaritan woman actually starts talking religion to Jesus and asks him where people should worship. Should we worship here on this mountain where Jacob's well is, or in Jerusalem in the temple there? Where's the correct place to worship? And of course, the temple and the Jerusalem would have been destroyed by the time John wrote this. You know, if you remember, Jesus answers her, neither. You know, those who worship God don't need any building to worship, but they worship in spirit and in truth. Now that may be a really helpful point for us right now as we're trying to figure out how to proceed as church during this pandemic. Secondly, I think it's helpful to know that by the end of the first century, Pharisaic Jews and Christian Jews were at each other's throats. The Pharisees, whom John calls the Jews, even had forbidden Christian Jews from entering the synagogues by this time. The two sects were competing with each other about who should inherit the covenant God made with Israel and what the new focus of unity will be now that the temple was gone. Pharisees and Christians were pretty well the only two groups that survived after 70 AD. So the Pharisees hold up the Torah, the law, and say this is what should be the focus. Christians, on the other hand, point to Jesus as the Messiah and that suggests that since the Messianic age has come, some of those Torah laws, especially around social boundaries, no longer applied. So now back to this story, which is in part directed against the Pharisees and their viewpoint. Jesus arrives at the well at noon hour, as does the woman, and Jesus asks her for some water. That was actually pretty shocking. And it must have been both exciting and scary for her all at the same time. Some commentators go out of their way to focus on the time of day, noon hour, and how people would have been there, have not been there at that time because of the heat of the day. They suggest that the woman, the Samaritan woman, may have come at this particular time to try to avoid other women who might have treated her badly because of her relationships with men. So it must have been really refreshing for her when she realized that Jesus knew about her relationship and still chose to engage her in conversation, and he didn't dwell on that at all. But even before she knew that, she would have been shocked that Jesus, a Jew, would be speaking to her as a Samaritan and not be repelled by the idea of sharing the same bucket of water. Now, if the Pharisees had been there, they would have taken the bucket and thrown it and hollered unclean and run away. No. The Pharisees and most Jews hated Samaritans, almost worse than they hated the Romans. They were what Harry Potter might call mudbloods, you know, half-breeds, defective in their beliefs, and they were hated. You know that from the story of the Good Samaritan as well. However, when the disciples returned from town, they were even more shocked that Jesus was talking not with a Samaritan, but with a woman, a woman. That was another purity law and boundary broken by Jesus in this exchange. The woman must have thought to herself, what the heck, in for a penny, in for a pound? And so she broke another taboo, she started talking about religion and theology to this man. And Jesus talked back. You know, there was a rabbinic saying at the time that says, any man that teaches a woman the Torah teaches her lechery. And yet, the Samaritan woman is not only engaged by Jesus, but told by him that she is the Messiah, and she actually, in some ways, becomes the first apostle to the Gentiles, even before St. Paul. To get to the idea of how women were viewed at the time, look at the text when it talks about the reaction of the town people. You know, they are curious by what she tells them about Jesus. But just to be clear that women were not seen as reliable witnesses at the time, they let her know that they didn't believe in Jesus because of her testimony, but because they experienced it for themselves. Okay. But overall, what a refreshing day and experience for this Samaritan woman at the well. Layers of shame and disrespect were blown away by this Jewish, holy man who talks to what her society would call a Samaritan woman with questionable relationships. And none of that seems to matter to him. None of it. It was probably even more refreshing for her than the water from the well. It was like living water that would well up in her heart and her soul and memory long after the physical refreshment from the literal water was passed. So, how can we, as followers of Jesus, be a source of living water to others outside the boundaries of power in our society? What a shame that in 2020 we're still playing the us and them game. And in this time of fear, it seems to make it all that much worse. Racism, sexism, moral self-righteousness, religious competition, gender things, they're all still here. Not only in society in general, but in the Christian religion, unfortunately. People of Asian descent are feeling it right now. Shannon tells me they're even boycotting Corona beer. Actually, I think we should get Corona beer. It might be a tonic. Oh, no, I am. No, okay. I'm pretty sure that sexism in all of its forms hasn't gone away either. You know, God and Jesus must be really disappointed. As the season of Lent progresses, and as we're forced this year to stop business as usual, let's all think about our role in society and how we make others feel. Those of us with power and privilege need to be about change through confession, repentance, soul-searching, and changing our ways. It's really easy for those of us who have power to deny reality and ignore our privilege. We need to think about that and make some changes. People outside the many layers of privilege need to take heart by this story. God and Jesus are on your side, and things aren't always going to be that way. The kingdom of God is coming, God is persistent, and like the Israelites in the desert, we will eventually get to the promised land. May this story give you hope, may it challenge you, may it be living water to you. Amen. See you later.
I just want to say that, in fact,
a fill in the blanks can continue, because you can go on Facebook and rewatch that. You can also at the bottom comment and ask a question or ask for an explanation or whatever. So it actually will be on the Facebook, and now it'll be interactive so that you can ask any of those questions, which is kind of cool. Anyway, he did great, eh?
Water comes to us so fresh. I don't think today's a great day to talk about recruitment and volunteerism, but I think for our visual, do we have a slide we can put up? Yes, can you read that? Little skeleton looking out the window. And then the pastor said, "We just need you to do this job until we find someone else." And Shirley MacLeod said, "That's me." So I thought I'd share that anyway, because we all need a bit of laughter. But on the hopeful side, we did have three young people volunteer for positions this year. And Emily Moss at the back, and Katie Logan, who was just here, and Kelly McNeil, who took on stewardship. So that was just the brightness I wanted to bring. And you might feel like that if you're in isolation for 2 weeks, too.
So we did say we would not pass the plate around, but that they are at the entrance ways or the exits as you go out. I would like to still do the invite or the invitation to the offering. We won't sing in between, and then I'll just say a prayer. Friends, in this time of uncertainty, we need the living water of Christ more than ever. It is the only thing that will quench our thirst, giving us the calm and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. By opening ourselves to this gift of life, accepting it, and allowing it to flow through us, we show our love and thanks to God. And then it becomes important to offer ourselves, our time, talent, and treasure to God, which we gladly share with each other and with the world. Thank you for your ongoing support of the mission and ministry of this church. And now I will just say a prayer. Gracious God, we dedicate to you not only these gifts, but also ourselves in deep gratitude for your gift of living water through Christ and the new life we are called to in this place as your disciples. Accept and bless what we offer in your name. May it multiply and lead others to you to quench their spiritual thirst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we will say a new creed together. Would you please stand? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. Trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of mercy, fountain of loving care, wellspring of blessing and source of our hope, help us break through the dry surface of our parched lives. Help us find the life that flows beneath, quietly, deeply, cool with refreshment, that living water for our souls that is the Spirit of Christ, your beloved. Rise up and flood with loving care every withered life and every heart that thirsts for you. We are thankful for your gift of living water offered through Jesus Christ, that no matter where we are or what we're going through, we can drink deeply from your well, the source of life and love that is within us. As it wells up and overflows, we are given the opportunity to share this water of life with others through our kind words and deeds, and our time, talent, and treasure that offer compassion and loving kindness to all. And we know that you will guide us in this, and we thank you, Lord God. O Creator, sustainer of life, we live each day surrounded by evidence of your creative power in the beauty of nature and all living things. You have watered the earth with ample snow and rain this winter, so we can be assured that new growth will blossom forth in spring. With this gift of life, we are blessed to be part of your creation and offer our thanks and praise. God of compassion, in our world there are so many who cry out in pain, fear, and anxiety. The havoc and grief caused by violence, war, injustice, natural disasters, and illness, such as COVID-19, is far-reaching and difficult to bear. Send your loving Holy Spirit to flow through every soul to comfort, strengthen, and encourage. May everyone find your peace in this uncertain time. We pray for those who are working to contain and rid the world of this virus, and we pray for those who are suffering from it and those who have suffered loss. We thank you, loving God, for your caring presence in the lives around the world and in our lives today. Hear our prayers, O God, as we bring to mind all those on our hearts at this time, aloud or in silence. And we pray for Stephen. Don Trider. Helen. All those who are grieving. As we lift up these dear ones to you, we add our promise to live Jesus' way of love, knowing he is our living water, the only source who can quench our thirst for you and give us new life. As Jesus taught us, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our final hymn is Voices United 626, I Heard the Voice of Jesus.
Jesus, and my love.
May the blessing of God give us strength for the journey. May the spirit of wisdom give us vision for the road. May the love of Christ supply us with living water and make us caring companions as together we go forth in this time of Lent. Amen.